that. I want God to develop my life. I want to become more like the character of the Lord Jesus. Now, that's all well and good if we didn't have a trinity of evil that was committed to stopping that from happening. I mean, we have the world and the flesh and Satan, whose goal is to not let that kind of growth happen in our lives. So there is, in Romans 7, this spiritual conflict that Paul talks about and that you're probably familiar with, either biblically or we're all familiar with it personally. Now, when we talk about Christian growth, we have a problem because our culture is an instant culture. And we think Christian growth is going to happen that way. We think it's going to happen instantly. We have TV plots. No matter how complicated the plot, it wraps up in a half hour. Maybe an hour. But it's all solved. These horrendous problems are all solved. News broadcast. They broadcast something for 3 minutes or less. Why? Because we get bored if it goes more than 3 minutes, unless it's a national crisis. We have microwave ovens. We have instant food. It's called McDonald's. It's called the whole fast food industry. People don't want fast food. They want instant food. Music videos. The image is on the screen for less than 2 seconds. Then they change the image. So we're so interested in a culture that everything happens yesterday. I haven't even talked about Twitter. I mean, we just live in this instant culture. The problem is Christian growth doesn't take place instantly. It takes place with the development of certain spiritual disciplines in my life. Now, a discipline is something that I do that it becomes part of me. I do it. You brush your teeth in the morning. At least your wife hopes you do. But it's a discipline. You just get up and you get ready and you have a routine. It's just something that just becomes part of you. Well, there are certain spiritual disciplines, if we're going to grow, that likewise have to become part of us. The number one spiritual discipline that we need to incorporate into our lives is regular, systematic exposure to the Word of God. For some Christians, the only reading of the Word of God that they will have heard this week is Psalm 100. And whatever I read. We need regular, systematic exposure to the Word of God if we're going to grow. Now, another spiritual discipline is prayer, and there's some others. I was sharing this with a class one time where, the class is where people have the chance to stand up and challenge what you're saying. Don't think about that. No. A guy raised his hand and he said, no, I think prayer is the number one spiritual discipline. And my answer to him was, prayer's important, obviously. It's critical. But if the Bible is the Word of God, and it is, I kind of think it's more important for me to know what God says to me than what I say to God. I mean, if there's a choice between the two, now there shouldn't be a choice. I ought to be talking to God. But the number one discipline that God needs to incorporate into our lives is regular, systematic exposure to the Word of God. Proverbs 23:7 puts it this way. As a man thinketh with his mind, so is he. Now, some of your translations are going to say, as a man thinketh with his heart, so is he. Well, in that culture, when they refer to the heart, they were talking about their place of reflection, not of affection. So in that culture, you could look at your wife and gaze into her eyes and say, I love you with all my kidneys. It doesn't have quite the same ring as what we would say, you know, I love you with all my heart. But in that culture, when they were talking about your thinking process, they used the term heart. So we're going to translate that into our culture today and just say, as a man thinketh with his mind, so is he. What we take in becomes the raw material that we think about that therefore controls our actions. Listen to Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. There's a direct relationship to my thought life and the peace that I experience in my life. As a man thinketh with his mind, so is he. Now, not everybody agrees with that. Back in the early 60s, there was a revival that took place in Indonesia. And scores and scores and scores of Muslims came to faith. A man by the name of Mel Torrey wrote a book about that experience. It was called Like a Mighty Wind. And in that book, he was asked, could a revival that took place in Indonesia take place here in America? And Mel Torrey said, yes, it could, but Americans would have to, and these are his words, would have to take this thing they call their brain and put it in a rocket and shoot it to the moon and respond to God with their heart. Well, Mel Torrey could not be more wrong. Because I can't respond to God without my mind. As a man thinketh with his heart, with his mind, so is he. Now, some of you are really, really good with computers. Okay? I turn it on, I get my email. Now, anything happens, I call North State. I mean, that's about as basic, or I ask my wife, that's about as basic as it gets. Okay? But you all know the acronym GIGO. Garbage in, garbage out. Program the computer wrong, you won't get right data. As a man thinketh with his mind, so is he. Garbage in, garbage out. So this has something to say to us about what we read. This has something to say to us about the books and the material that we expose ourselves to. This has something to say to us about the words of the music that we listen to. Garbage in, garbage out. What I take in settles down into my thought processes, which leads to my actions. It does depend, it does matter what websites a believer goes to on the computer. There is no such thing as, well, it's only soft porn. Porn is porn. There are some websites that are destructive to society, let alone to a believer. TV. The soaps. Now, I haven't watched soaps in a long time, except if I visited in some of your homes and you've had it on. But haven't seen the soap. I can tell you right now, every soap that's on TV, the plot is a guy's trying to get a girl into bed. A guy or a girl are cheating on their spouse. Somebody is doing a dishonest business deal to try to hurt their buddy or their enemy and to try to wreck his business. I mean, that's the plot. You don't have to watch them next week. I told you what's happening. Okay? I mean, garbage in, garbage out. As a man thinketh with his mind, so is he. We have an enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and they want to stop us from growing. Now, the Word of God is this instrument of change. Now, I have some figures here that I got from a survey that are so long ago that they probably aren't valid anymore, but just in case they might be. It was that 12% of people professing to be believers read the Bible every day. 34% read it weekly. 42% read it once in a while. But that same group, 80% get a newspaper. 69% spend 30 minutes a day reading the newspaper. Not counting TV news, not counting computer news. As a man thinketh with his mind, so is he. Romans 12:2 puts it this way. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our thought processes. Because our thought processes are sinful. They tend that way very naturally. And if we want to have more thought, God needs to renew our thought processes. Jesus said in John 15:3, "Now you are clean through the feeling that I gave you?" No. "Now you are clean, now you are cleansed." The word is like having an enema. "Now you are cleaned out because of the word that I have spoken unto you." There's a cleansing aspect of exposing ourselves to the Word of God. Philippians 4:8 that we've already read that talks about our thought life. Turn over your Bibles to Psalms 19. Interesting relationship between some verses there. Psalm 19, verse 7, says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statute of the law is trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the law are right, giving joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes." Notice that in this couplet, the first statement is a statement about the Word of God. The second statement is a statement about the results of the Word of God. So, the law of the Lord is perfect, it revives my soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, it makes wise the simple, and so forth. There is the relationship between what happens in my life and my exposure to the Word of God. When Pat's father died, Pat's mom came to live with us. Now, I was pastoring a church in New Jersey at that time. So, she had to go to church. Now, years and years and years ago, she had accepted Christ as her Savior. Because of the family situation and the tension in the family, she wasn't really able to follow through too much. So now she's living with us. And in the afternoon, she'd be sitting up in her part of the house watching TV. And this one particular day, she was watching a soap opera. And Pat came in and started talking with her. And finally, what was going on with the soap opera was, so Pat said, I'll talk to you later, Mom. I'm going downstairs. And Mom said, well, no, stay here. And she said, I'm not going to stay here and try to talk to you with that on. So she turned it off and they had a conversation. Well, at our church, we had a food distribution closet for the people in the community and a clothes closet for the people in our community. And if they met certain standards, they could show up and we'd bundle up some food and make some clothes available to them. Our house was on the property of the church. First time someone came to the food closet and somebody from our church was supposed to meet them there. The first time my mother-in-law saw that, she ran and she hid in the house so that in case there was nobody at the door for the food, they weren't going to come over to the door and see her and want her to do something. She hid. Now, while this is going on, Mom's getting involved in a Bible study. Mom's doing some Bible study homework during the week. Mom's sitting down with her daughter and they're praying, they're reading the Word of God together. Over this period of time, she starts obviously coming to church, but then she starts going to Sunday school. She starts doing this Bible study. One winter, somebody showed up to pick up some food. And they had a spring jacket on. And it was cold. And there was nobody there to give them the food. The person hadn't arrived yet. So they came over to the house. Mom went to the door, talked with them, went over and got some food for them, said to them, where's your coat? It's cold out today. They said, this is all I have. She went in the house and got one of her winter coats and gave it to them. And said, I've got a couple here. You take this. A year before, she was hiding from that same person. As a man thinketh with his mind, so is he. She used to say, I turned off the TV and picked up a Bible. And we watched God just changing her life. Now, Scripture tells us what value the Word of God will be for us if we do this. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ, hearing by the Word of God. So my faith and confidence in God will develop as I spend time exposing myself to the Word of God. Theo Moody said, I used to spend a lot of time praying for more faith, and then one day I read Romans 10:17, and I stopped praying for faith and picked up my Bible. Now, why does reading the Word of God increase our faith? It's not a magic book, but it is a book that explains God to us. It helps us to understand who He is. It helps us to understand who Jesus is. Think about it. The people that you trust the most are the people that you know best if they're trustworthy. There's nobody more trustworthy than God. And the Word of God is going to explain to us who God is. And it is okay to trust Him. It's okay to have confidence in Him, because this is who He is by very nature and by character. Psalms 119:11 says, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. So having the Word of God in our thought processes will help us to deal with sin. Psalm 119, every verse in Psalm 119 except one deals with the Word of God. And in verse 24 it says, Your statutes are my delight, they are my counselors. David is saying, Your words become the framework for my philosophy of life. You're my counselors. You're my counselors as to how I look at life, how I run my business, how I work as an employer, how I work as an employee. The ethics of my life are formed by the statutes of the Word of God. How my marriage functions, how my singleness functions, how my relationships functions in the church, out of the church, are all taught by the statutes of the Lord. What David is saying is that the word from God forms the philosophy of my life, the framework by which I live my life. If we're serious about growth, the number one spiritual discipline that we need is regular, systematic exposure to the Word of God. Jim Elliot, who was a martyr in Ecuador back in the 60s, him and four other missionaries, in the desk at Wheaton College in his dorm room, he had a sign, and it said, As now, so then. And in his writings, he explained what that meant. He meant, it means that if down the future I want God to do something in my life, what I'm doing right now will contribute to what I do in the future. As now, so then. Now, my daughter, growing up hearing this, one day cross-stitched, I have in my office, as now, so then. Because I don't want to forget that. Because if I want God to do something in my life next month, next year, as now, so then. As a man thinketh with his mind, so is he. Now, some people say you are what you eat. Well, you know, people can debate that. Proverbs 23:7 says, you are what you think. And there is no debate on that. As a man thinketh with his mind, so is he. So where are we today? Well, maybe we're back where we started. For some of you, this is just an affirmation. This is a discipline that you have incorporated into your life for so many years, you can't remember when it started, but you are thankful to God that it did, because you are bringing the words of the living God into your thought processes. For others of us, well, maybe not. Maybe we're kind of stuck in a rut. Maybe we've been there for so long we kind of forget. Maybe we think that Christian growth happens kind of by osmosis, by showing up. Well, you don't have to be stuck there. If you want something down the road for God to do in your life, as now, so then. And it just starts with little by little making a commitment to regularly expose ourselves to the Word of God. To regularly bring the Word of God into our minds and to think about it, to meditate on it. God will use that to begin to work change in our lives. For as a man thinketh with his mind, so is he. Let's bow together. With your heads bowed, if you're here and this explanation of how you can be forgiven and have your sins forgiven and the death and burial and resurrection of Christ has brought questions to your mind or is new information to you, and you want to talk about that after the service, I'll be standing at the door. I would be more than happy to take some time and sit down and talk with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us enough to delivering to us your thoughts, your word, the precepts, the statutes that you can use to mold us and to shape us. Thank you that you care enough about us to want to change us, to want us to become more like the Lord Jesus. Guide us, Father, as we respond to your challenge to that end in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.